This is Pastor Sam, and I'm so excited that you're taking the time to listen to this week's sermon podcast. I hope it blesses your life. If you're a part of our Lighthouse Church family, we would love to connect with you via our social media at GoToLighthouse or online at GoToLighthouse.org. We want to get you plugged into a connect group or on our dream team so you can do life together with people who love God and who want the best for your life. Please stay tuned for some announcements at the end of this podcast. And now, here's this week's message.
Life was not meant to be lived alone. Life was meant to be lived in the context of relationships. Today's an important day at our church because we are launching today our new semester for this new year for Connect Groups. Everybody in a Connect Group, give God praise right now. Connect Group members, amen. So what are Connect Groups? Connect Groups are our home-based Bible study groups. There's different kinds, different days, different times, different focuses. But the idea is that throughout the week, we have Connect Groups every day of the week meeting at different places around San Diego County to give you a chance to reconnect with God, reconnect with church people so that you don't live life alone. So if you're not part of a Connect Group, if you don't belong to a Connect Group, let me just tell you right now, half an hour on Sunday at church is not enough. We all need, how many, you know how like old cars sometimes leak oil? Anybody ever have one of those cars? Like, anybody got a family member, you're like, don't park in my driveway. We just leak oil. And last Sunday, we had an amazing Sunday, amen? And we were filled with the anointing, but some of us this week already leaked some oil. So during the week, we need something to fill us up, something to reconnect us, something to remind us. And so Connect Groups fill that need in our lives. So I want to encourage all of us, if you're not in a Connect Group, if you want to, don't make church transactional. Make it relational. And Connect Groups helps with that, okay? I know in my world, on the business side, we train all of our 17,000 employees in our firm to say, don't be a vendor, be an advisor. Because a vendor is transactional. I buy this from you, you give me this, and you go away, and I don't see you, I don't think of you, we have no relation, it's just a transaction. Church cannot be transactional. Church is supposed to be relational. Connect groups are the best way to build relationships. So if you're not in a connect group, I highly encourage you, find one. You don't know one today, all those tables, matter of fact, we're not gonna let you leave, the doors are locked. Before you leave, no, I'm kidding, before you leave, we just wanna give you a chance to improve your life, honestly. We just want to give you a chance for you to be able to be in a better place. And so today, when we finish our service in those tables, please go. There's all kinds of signage and things there. There's balloons and people will guide you that way. We just want to bless your life throughout the week. And so life was meant to be lived in the context of relationships. Saying that, we're going to get into other topics over the next few weeks. We're going to talk about marriage and friendship and things of that nature. But today, I want to just begin sort of as a foundational topic to remind us that all of us here, you and me, all of us here, we were created, God created us with a deep need for meaningful relationships. God created us with a deep need for meaningful relationships. Now, look, I know we all, how many of you love, you enjoy your alone time? How many have little kids and you really enjoy your alone time, right? When they're gone, right? Oh, I felt, did you feel that? I'm convinced some young couples with kids come to church solely so I can leave them there for 45 minutes. You could care less what's said in here. You don't want coffee. You don't want to say hi. Just give me an hour where the kids are over there and I can just have some peace and quiet. All of us enjoy our alone time. We enjoy that, but let's face it. We all, how sad, how empty would life be if you didn't have that annoying sibling? How boring would life be if you wouldn't have that nagging spouse once in a while? How boring would life be if we wouldn't have those kids tugging at us? There's something about relationships that meets a need. And God created us that way. God created us to be social. God created us to have meaningful relationships. But here's where it gets tricky. Because the reality is that developing healthy relationships, it's a very difficult, and I would say a learned skill. having a healthy relationship is something we actually have to learn. We're not born that way because by nature we're selfish. By nature, I want what's best for me. By nature, you'd prefer a spouse that does everything you want, exactly how you want it, when you want it, no questions asked, every single time. Somebody give God praise. That's what I'm praying for. It ain't gonna happen. Stop praying for that. It ain't gonna happen. It's just not gonna happen. You ought to know that by now. Dream all you want. It's not gonna happen. So developing, learning how to have a healthy relationship, we have to learn. What makes it even harder is how many of us, I would say sadly, a majority of us, were raised in homes where relationships are not always healthy, where we didn't see good balance, where we didn't see good compromise, where we didn't see forgiveness being given and asked for, where we didn't see a lot of apologies being made, where we didn't see mistakes being corrected in a loving way, where we didn't see conflict resolution. We saw conflict, we just didn't see it resolved. And it's such a sad statistic that a large, large number of kids, more than ever before, are being raised in single family homes. Not that it can't be a good upbringing, but you're missing something. It's always very, no, and I gotta say this, it just feels like there's this demonic attack on the nuclear family and the value that each member of a family brings to the whole. We all have something to add to that, something to contribute to that. And so when elements of that are missing, a lot of us are raised in homes and environments and families and communities where all we know are broken relationships. All we know is how impossible it might be for relationships to be healthy. So it's something we have to learn, how to compromise, how to apologize, how to make things right, how to make up for mistakes. Those are things we have to learn. And so all of this coming at us, I would pose to us this morning that a strong relationship with God is the best foundation for developing healthy relationships in our lives. A healthy relationship with God gives you a model, gives you a template, gives you an idea of how a relationship is supposed to work. And for a lot of us, we have to learn that, because that's not how we were raised. And so as we go throughout the series, we're going to get into husband-wife, boyfriend-girlfriend relationships. We're going to talk about being a good friend and what it takes to form healthy friendships. We're going to talk about all those things in the coming weeks. But I really believe that if we don't get this relationship with God right, we will always be trying to catch up. We will always trying to learn from the wrong teachers. And we'll have to figure some stuff out that amongst us might be very difficult. So then what I want to do today is just kind of answer this question. How do I start? Or for some of us, how do I restart a healthy relationship with God? This might sound counterintuitive, but there's a lot of Christians, I would say a significant number of Christians, who do not have a healthy relationship with God. It's a relationship based on fear. It's a relationship based on, you know what? I love God because I don't want to go to hell. I go to church because I don't want to be condemned. You know, it's based on the worst possible outcome. So I do this because I don't want to go there. That's not healthy. That's like saying, I want a boyfriend because I don't want to be alone. I don't love him. I don't care about him. I think he's weird. But it's better than being alone. What are the odds of that relationship being good? So what are the odds of our relationship with God being good if we don't really love him? We just want to use it as my ticket to get my free out of jail card. Keep me out of hell card. That's what God is to a lot of people. So I meet all these rules and I follow all these things and I look a certain way just so that I don't go there. That's not love. And so how do I start? How do I restart a healthy relationship with God? So I want to just teach on this today. again, for a lot of you, this is, you're there, you might not need this, but it might be a good reminder, and maybe, just maybe, if you have a healthy relationship with God, this can help you to teach others. This is something, I'll give you a good example of how all of us here could actually lead a connect group. It sounds easy, but most of our connect groups are what we call sermon-based. So these slides you see here, you'll get them if you're a connect group leader, and you'll have them in advance, and you can just teach on them. And so I'll give you a very simple example how this can be. Look at this next slide. 6 steps to start or restart a healthy relationship with God. 6 steps to start or restart a healthy relationship with God. So let me show all 6 really quick, and then we're getting into the detail of them. So step 1 is to have a desire for God. Step 2 is to learn about him through the Bible. Step 3 is to talk to him through prayer. Step 4 is to learn from him through the Holy Spirit. Step 5 is to trust him through obedience. And step 6 is to actually enjoy God through worship. 6 steps to start or restart a relationship with God. Pretty basic, right? All of us can speak to that. If you've been around God for some time, you can teach this Bible study. And I'll give you scriptures and I'll give you points to help you. All right, so this is, pretend I'm just leading a connect group in my house right now. You're the connect, it's a big connect group, but it's a connect group. And imagine how you could do the same thing, right? I wanna take the fear out of, I'm not a teacher, I'm not a pastor, I'm not a theologian. You don't need to be. If you can read this slide, you can teach a Bible study. I want to take away the mysticism and the challenge. Oh my God, I didn't go to Harvard Divinity. I don't care. Have you been through the school of hard knocks? Have you figured some stuff out? You can figure this out, right? So listen to me. Everybody here could teach this Bible study to people. And just talk about these steps. And then just ask people, what do you think about this? What experiences have you had with this? It's just facilitating a conversation. It's not that complicated. So let me go one by one. I'll go quick. But I want you, as you go through this list, to think about which of these steps maybe you've been neglecting in your relationship with God. Which of these, or let me ask differently. You know how the Bible says that the devil, even though he's evil, he's smart. And he's not lazy. He's always working. So the devil has a mission statement, right? We know that, to steal, kill, and destroy. So let me ask you this. If the devil wanted to mess up your relationship with God, if he wanted to cause friction in your relationship with God, if he wanted to damage your relationship with God, which of these 6 steps do you think he's going to come in through? Now, everybody's different here. So beyond the basics, think about what is it that you have to guard against? What door might be open for him to come in and try to destroy and sabotage your relationship with God? So let's take one by one. First and foremost, step one, and this is really step one, is any loving relationship has to start with love, a true desire for God. Amen? So look, I know it sounds basic, but it gets a little harder when you understand what it really means. So let me give you an example. Psalms 27:4 in the Amplified Version says this. One thing I have asked of the Lord, and that I will seek. Stop there for a second. Let me ask you, if you could ask God, not quite the genie in a bottle, but if you got one wish, and you could ask God for one thing, and one thing only, what would you ask him for? Don't answer. What would you really ask him for? For a lot of us, if we're honest, it has nothing to do with God. And this is where the crux of it is. Notice what David says. One thing have I asked of the Lord. One thing. And that's what I'm going to seek. What's the one thing, David? What is the one thing? What is the most important thing in your life? What is your greatest desire? What is your greatest hope? What is the thing that you desire the most of anything God could give you? What's the one thing you'd ask God for? This is it. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord, in his presence, all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty, which means the delightful loveliness and majestic grandeur of the Lord, and to meditate in his temple. So all of us can say we love God. If I ask you, raise your hand if you don't love God, I hope you don't raise your hand unless you're not paying attention. Most of us will say we love God. The question is not do you love God? The real question is, do you love God like that? I'm not asking you, do you believe in God? I'm not asking you, do you like God? I'm asking you, do you love God? And not just that, do you love God above all else? If you can ask for one thing, it's not a house, it's not a car, it's not money, it's not position, it's not power, it's not to be a professional athlete, it's not to win an Emmy. Well, if you get one thing, what's the one thing you would ask God? And if we're honest with ourselves, our first choice might have not been this. And so if we really want to have a serious, loving relationship with God, we have to make sure that our heart is aligned with this desire. That we say, you know what? Because let me ask you, how many of you want to go to heaven? Anybody want to go to heaven when you die? You want to go to heaven? Amen. Guess what heaven is? It's all God. Amen. Like, that's it. If you don't want that, you might not like heaven. I know people picture heaven, oh, in heaven I'm going to have a mansion. You're not going to be a Kardashian in heaven. It's a mansion and Jesus lives with you. It's like a lot of God. There's a lot of, newsflash. There's a lot of God in heaven. Like worship all the time. Oh, really? Or I think it was just puppies and rainbows? No, no. What's heaven? Heaven is the presence of God. Now, if you love God, you look forward to heaven. If I could just be in his presence all the time, not have to worry about sin and nasty people and haters and all the craziness in the world, all the wokeness and cancel stuff going, if I could just be in the presence of God, sign me up. But if that's not you, you might want to live a little longer, because when you get to the other side of this life, that's what's there. God. Lots of it. Worship all the time. Not you, but there's people that like to time their arrival at church to skip some of the worship and just get to the word. I got news for you. There's a heck of a lot of worship in heaven. And in heaven, you can't just say, it's like, oh, I don't like this song. Excuse me, Archangel, yeah, with a big trumpet. That's not my genre. Like, no. No. I would encourage you, listen to other kinds of worship, okay? In heaven, there's going to be all kinds of worship. And if it's for God, I'm for it. If it's for God, I'll enjoy it. I'll participate in it. So I want to make sure we understand what loving God means. It's not loving your version of God. It's loving God. It's desiring God. It's this verse. And can I be honest with you? I struggle with this verse. Because like right here, right now, I'm all about Psalm 27:4. But Wednesday at 3, eh? During the week, eh? Like, I'm honest with you. I got work to do. So that all the time, I'm there. Like, how many are there right now? Like, right now, you're there. You're with me right now. Come on. I got at least 5 of you that said amen. 5. That's a high bar, huh? And that's when you begin to realize relationships are hard. Because relationships take this kind of love. This is not the little Mickey Mouse, little, weekend love. This is not the one I feel like it. This is all the time. One thing, how I ask of the Lord. That's what I'm going to seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord, that I may be in his presence. So if we want to have a healthy relationship with God, this needs to be real. You can't fake this. How many know you really can't fake love, at least not for long, right? And so God sees that in us. And so step one of a healthy relationship with God is that we have to continuously work towards this as a goal. So I want to encourage you, make Psalms 27:4, one of your goals in life. God help me to get to a place where Psalms 27:4 is for me. Where Psalms 27:4 is a true desire of my heart. It starts there. Number two, step two, is to take the time to learn about God. Take the time, everybody say time, to learn about him. It takes time. A lot of these steps will apply to all the other relationships in our lives. So learn about him. Look at Jeremiah 9, 23, 24. I love this verse. This is what the Lord says. Let not the wise boast of their wisdom, or the strong boast of their strength, or the rich boast of their riches. But let the one who boasts, boast about this, that they have the understanding to know me, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth, for in these I delight. If you're going to boast about anything, boast about the fact that you understand God, that you know God. What is the best way to get to know God? It's through his word. It's through the Bible. Wouldn't it be awesome, all the men say amen? Wouldn't it be awesome if when you're dating your now wife, she would have come with a book that told you these are all the things she likes, these are all the things she dislikes. You might have read the book and moved on. You might have read the book, and how many would have saved you a lot of conversations and arguments and discussions? If you would have read the book and understood, oh, this is what she's like, that's what she likes. Chapter 2, oh, that's going to change. And when she gets into her, like, look, I married Angie in her 20s. Loved her in her 20s. Then the 30s came and she changed. And then the 40s came and she changed some more. New chapter. Now we're both in our 50s. Sorry, baby, I have to confess. New chapter. It's not the same. She's gotten better every time. But had you given me a book? had I had a book? Had I had a book? Life would have been so much easier. I would have known. Don't do that. Don't do that. I didn't know. I forgot. I didn't read. There was no book. Guess what? God has a book. You want to know God? There's a book. What he loves, what he doesn't love, what he's into, what he despises, what he loves. There's a book. Everybody say, there's a book. Read it. Read it. Get to know him. Now, I know you'd rather me be out here preaching, shouting about revival, but I am telling you, if you don't love God, if you don't get to know God, there will be no revival. This is the foundation of that. Revival is an outcome. Amen? It's an outcome. Revival is the fire. These are the logs. These are the things we have to keep feeding into our relationship every single day of our lives so that that fire can keep burning. There's no use talking about the fire if you know how to create it and what it takes for it to burn. So I love this scripture. Can I boast about anything? Look, a lot of us can boast about a lot of things. Okay, I'm going to go here just for a little bit, okay? I promise I'll come back. I'll be nice. There's too many of us that are experts at things that don't matter. Let me talk to the men for a bit. There's a lot of guys that know all the stats about the team, a player. All of you who do fantasy football, you spend hours looking at percentages and catches and yards and this and yards after the catch. And I'm making stuff up because I don't play fantasy football, but you get the point. Before all the women say amen, I'm coming right back. Hold on, just stay right there. I'll come to you in a second. Have you met people like that? They know everything there is to know about everything, except God. You know stats, you know players, you know brands, you know recipes. You know everything there is to know about all kinds of stuff, and yet we're ignorant about the thing that the one we profess to love cares the most about. So I challenge us. Gonna boast about anything? Let's boast about the fact that we have understanding to know God. that we spend time in the Word of God, that we read the Bible, that we have knowledge of God. Amen? So it's a challenge to all of us. What are you an expert in? What do you know a lot about? Again, name the topic, name the hobby, name the sport, name the thing. All of us have a lot of head knowledge about a lot of things. Let one of those things be this. Amen? Let's preach about revival better. Tough, isn't it? It's tough. It's tough. Like I know a lot of stuff. And let me tell you, I like to learn. I love to learn. Ask me about the economy. I'll talk to you for months. Ask me about numbers and finance and business. I love that. Ask me about socioeconomic things, political things. I love that. I like to read about it. I like to understand how things work. But what good is all of that if I don't know this? Like, that stuff doesn't get me into heaven. And that stuff doesn't make my relationship with God better. This does. So I'm not saying all those things are evil or sinful. No. And look, I think a month or two ago, I talked about fantasy football. All the guys that play fantasy football, I'm not judging you. Perfectly cool. I'm fine with it. I have nothing against it. I guess what I'm saying is, let's make sure that we reserve some passion for this. That's all. Okay? Everybody say relationships. This is where it gets good. Step three, talk to him. Talk to God. We typically do this through prayer, but I want you to think of prayer a little differently. Nehemiah 1:6. Let your eyes be open and your ears attentive to hear the prayer that I, your servant, now pray before you day and night. How often was this guy praying? Day and night. I would tell you, look, this is just me, right? Don't judge me. I know some of you like to get up at 5 in the morning and pray. That's not my jam. I'm not a morning person. I tried. Trust me, I tried because I was told you need to get up early and the first thought needs to be the Lord. You got to get down on your knees. And trust me, when I was younger, I would get on my knees and I'd be out. I'm just not a morning person. It didn't work for me. Now, if you get up at 5 in the morning and pray for an hour, God bless you. Keep at it. You know what works for me? Is to pray continuously throughout the day. That's what I try to do. Sometimes, anybody ever been in a very boring Zoom call for work? If you're going to zoom out, I pray sometimes. I'm like nodding, yes, Jesus. Help me with this, help with that. God, I ask you for this. Thank you for that. Yeah, yes, Lord, yeah. What? Yes, Jesus, hallelujah. Love you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I'm walking, I'm driving, I'm on a plane. I try to just pray. For me, it's not, maybe I have some ADD or something. I can't sit for an hour without my mind wandering. You ever been praying in the middle of your prayer for like 3 minutes? You go off on this tangent?
Oh, yes.
That's your sign. You got to stop praying. Come back to it when you're ready. I'm Pastor Sam. Can I just be real with you?
Yes.
Lord Jesus, right now I pray for my job. Help me, God, what I'm doing as I lead these groups and as I go through this. God, just help me with the strategy. Help me to execute well. And I got to return 3 emails. And, that person said this and this. Oh, I forgot to do that. And, I got to do this right now. Oh, I was praying. I forgot I was praying. Like, I forgot I was praying. I got so deep into this little, like, I got off the freeway. Anybody?
Yes.
I feel like such a sinner right now. Like, you're all holy and perfect, and you pray with fervor from beginning to end. You never get distressed. My mind wanders. And so what works for me is just to pray continuously throughout the day in spurts. I'm better in spurts. So that works for me. I don't know what works for you. My point is figure out what works for you, but talk to God. Okay, that's the point. Talk to God. I like Psalm 17:6 because it's a two-way street. Look at this. Psalm 17:6. I call on you, my God, for you will what? Answer me. Turn your ear to hear me and hear my prayer. So prayer is this two-way street where you pray to God, but take some time to listen to what God's telling you. Let God show you what he's going to do. Let God speak to your heart. Let God reassure your spirit. So it's communication, right? So think about this. Just the first three steps. Make sure you love him. Make sure you know him. Make sure you talk with him. Guess what? Those three things work in every relationship. That's what I'm saying. If we can't do it with God, you're going to have a hard time doing it with somebody more important than God, because there ain't anybody more important than God. So if we're not going to spend the time here, I don't like to talk to God. How are you going to talk to somebody lesser than God? So these are foundational to that. Let me go to step four. Learn from him. This is the Holy Spirit. I love this. John 14, 26. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and what? Remind you of everything I have told you. That is the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, to teach us and remind us. How many of us need to be reminded? You know, I realize the older I get, the more reminding I need. I used, you know, my wife is prophetic. Because when I was younger, she would ask me to do something, and within a minute, she would ask me again. And I'd be like, woman, you just told me. You just told me, like literally, you just told me. I don't want to hear it again. I don't need to hear it again. I didn't realize the prophetic gift she had. Because now, she tells me, and I'm so glad 3 minutes later she reminds me, because I forgot. All the older folks say amen. Yeah. So I know it. I agree with it. But I forgot. I need to be reminded. Guess what the role of the Holy Spirit, one of the roles of the Holy Spirit is? It's this: to teach us and to remind us. Because Sunday comes and goes. And again, if this is your only exposure you have to the things of God throughout the week, we need reminders. And so part of the prayer is, Holy Spirit, throughout the week, remind me of who you are. Remind me of who I'm supposed to be. Remind me of the life I'm supposed to live. Remind me of how I honor. Just remind me, God, because I forget. I get busy. I get caught up in stuff. So it's the role of the Holy Spirit. It's the active role of the Holy Spirit to teach us. And let me just tell you this. If you pray, sincerely pray, for the Holy Spirit to teach you things, you will find God speak to you throughout the day. Throughout the day, God will speak to you. You'll notice God. You'll sense God. You'll learn from God. I remember a few years ago, just one example of thousands I can give you, because I'm always trying to look for God in things. Not in a weird way, not you know, just lessons, like little sermons, little sermonettes that happen. Remember one time a few years ago, I took my dogs for a walk. This is when we still had two dogs. Luke has gone on. Not quite sure where they go. Anyhow. I don't. So anyway, I had little Pixie, who's 5 pounds, long-haired chihuahua. She's feisty as can be, 14 years old. And we had Luke, who's a big boy, a big golden 95-pounder. And it was a hot summer day, and I'm walking them, taking them for a walk. It's just me and the dogs going for a walk. We're walking them. I'm walking them. And I said, you know what? I'm going to get a longer walk today. I'm going to make a little longer walk. So we're going for a walk. Now, mind you, Pixie, who's little, Luke, like one step, she does 5, right? So I'm walking him and it's hot. And at some point, I look back and I notice, you know what I noticed? If you didn't hear, she says you were dragging the dog. No, I wasn't dragging the dog. You know what I noticed? You know what I noticed? As I'm walking him, Luke was on the outside and he was like panting heavy, tongue out. He was like hurting in the sun. I look at Pixie and she was fine. You know what the difference was? She was in my shadow the whole time. He was in the sun the whole time. So I just noticed this. It's the same walk, it's the same path. He's hurting. She's comfy. He that dwells under the shadow of the Almighty. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just me on a walk with two dogs. But the word became so real. And the rest of my walk, I'm thinking, how many times do you have people in church, same church, some barely making it, some going awesome? What's the difference? So my point is, just pay attention to God. God's everywhere. And through His Spirit, He'll teach you things if you open up your eyes. So say, God, teach me. I want to learn from you. It's God's constant presence in us. You just have to look for God. God, show me where you're working. Show me, God. Just open up my eyes so I can see your work. I never thought Pixie and Luke would preach to me. It was an awesome sermon. It was really awesome. To this day, it's like I could see them right now. And it's almost like Pixie smiled at me like, you get it? You get it? You get it? You get it? Like, if anybody should have been tired, it's the little one. She had a lot more steps than he did. But she was fine. She was under my shadow. I was taking the sun, and she was living in my shadow. Luke was on his own. Thought he had it. He's a big boy. I got this. And the sun's beating him up. And he barely made it. So where are you living your life, right? That's how the Spirit works in our lives. Look for Him. Step five, we'll go really quick. This is hard. Is to begin to trust God. How many love God? Okay, so let me ask you again in 30 seconds. For the true love of God is this, that we habitually keep His commandments and remain focused on His precepts. And His commandments and His precepts are not difficult to obey. True love of God. True love of God. It's not just a feeling. True love of God is to habitually, that means a habit, every day you just do it repeatedly, habitually keep His commandments. I would tell you, this is a true test of love. Do we truly obey God? Do we truly follow? Do we truly trust? Do we truly do these things on a habitual, not once in a while, as a matter of habit, we trust Him. Step six is to enjoy Him. I love these scriptures. You have shown me the path to life, and you make me glad by being near to me. Sitting at your right side, I will always be joyful. I love that interpretation. In His presence, there is fullness of joy. At His right hand, pleasures forevermore. That's this, said differently. You are showing me the path to life. You make me glad by being near me. Fullness of joy. Sitting at your right side, I will always be joyful. Let me remind all of us this morning, true joy, true lasting joy is found near God. And if I'm near God and your significant other is near God, we're going to be in a place of joy. It makes relationships easier. That's why the Bible says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, because you will have joy and the other one won't. It's hard for that to work. It's just really hard for that to work. If we're both in the same place, we're in a place of joy. Good things can happen from there. Amen? Philippians 4:4, we know this. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say it. Rejoice. In His presence, there is joy. Rejoice means to do it over and over and over. It's continuous. This is where we want to be. So as I come to a close, let's all stand. I want to just pray. Let me go back to this list of the six things. So look at these six things. I want you this morning to focus on the one or two things on this list that you know you got to work on. I know all of us can improve on all six, but if we're honest with ourselves, there's one or two areas here that, you know what, I need to work on this. I've neglected this. I haven't paid attention to this. I'm not focused on this. I've slacked off on this. And as a result, our relationship with God suffers. So if our relationship with God is the foundation for every other relationship, let's make sure we get this right. Amen? So look at this list. Find your one or two things that as you've been sitting here listening to the Word of God, the Spirit has impressed upon your heart. You know what? These are ones to focus on. So let's pray. Jesus, we come before you today. We give you praise. We thank you. Because God, deep in our hearts, we want to have a loving, healthy relationship with you. We want to have healthy relationships with the people that matter most to us. We want to have healthy relationships at home, healthy relationships at work, healthy relationships in our community. And God, as a nation, we have neglected our relationship with you. And therefore, it's no surprise that the relationships amongst our people are so fractured, that there's so much hatred and pent-up racism and so many ugly things in our world. Because if our relationship with you as a nation is not restored, every other relationship is going to suffer. So God, I pray, let it begin here. Let it begin here this morning. Let it begin with this group this morning. Let us focus, God, on how do we strengthen our relationship with you? How do we have a healthier, stronger relationship with you to become the foundation and the basis for every other relationship in our lives? Remind us, God, that we are better together. I am better with you. And you and me makes me a better partner for anybody else. You and me makes me a better friend. You and me makes me a better husband. You and me makes me a better father. So I pray, God, that you may be a greater part of all of our lives so that our relationships may flourish and be blessed. God, we want to keep revival going, but revival is based on a healthy relationship. So help us to spend the time, dedicate the effort to get closer to you. And I pray right now, Lord, for everyone here today under the sound of my voice. I pray, God, that before we leave, we will recognize our need to connect with each other. I pray for everyone that is not in a connect group, that has never joined a connect group, that before they leave today, they would sign up, find a home, find a place, find community to grow, to develop, to protect one another, and to be blessed and find freedom in you. For all the amazing things you have for us, as we continue to build our relationships, we give you praise. We declare all of this in the precious name of Jesus. And everybody shout in Jesus' name. Come on, let's give God praise one more time. God bless everybody.
Hey, this is Pastor Sam again. If this message blessed your life, I want to encourage you to please share it with someone else. Also, please visit our website at gotolighthouse.org and consider making a donation to support our ministry so that we can continue bringing you content just like today's message. God bless you, and I look forward to seeing you on Sunday.